We differentiate between healing and curing. Curing is the business of medicine. Curing has to do with eliminating symptoms. Healing is the business of the shaman. It's what we do in our training programs, what we train our students to do through our Healing the Light Body School. We're training Western shamans that are able to bring about healing, which is much more thorough than curing is, and that frequently results in curing as well, but does not always. For example, some of my best clients die, but they die peacefully. They die nearly pain-free. They die consciously. So healing has to do with an experience of infinity, with an experience of a self that exists outside of time, that can never experience illness, that has never been touched by disease. Whereas curing has to do with eliminating symptoms. And if you do not address the root, the cause, illness is simply going to return. My mission is to translate ancient sacred technologies into healing practices that are powerful and effective in a Western setting. And these are methodologies that have been in existence for 50,000 years. They've been proven effective. They've been transmitted through the oral tradition from teacher to student, from grandmother to granddaughter, grandfather to grandson. And my mission is to bring these methodologies to the West, is to train Western shamans in the luminous healing practices of the Americas. And today we're training people from all cuts of life to learn to heal themselves, to learn to heal each other, and to learn to heal the world. And this is who the shaman is. We are caretakers of the earth. And my mission is to train Western shamans that can dream a dream of healing and of peace and of beauty together. Works within sacred space. And the notion that we work with and our premise is that we can create a personal sacred space by calling on the four corners of the world and on the organizing principles that each of these four corners represent. When we summon them, we create a space that is safe, which is an essential condition for healing to occur. Many of the clients that I work with personally are coming to see me because at an early stage in their life, the world ceased to be safe. And until we can create an energetic, safe space, a sacred space, healing is going to be very difficult. We do this by summoning on the four corners of the world, the four directions in heaven and earth. But then we work with creating a second kind of sacred space. The first one connects us to the ecosphere, to all of the forces of nature. The second kind of sacred space connects us to the noosphere, which is the distinctly human sphere, to the medicine men and women, to the luminous beings that assist us from the spirit world, the spiritual teachers, the angels, the luminous ones. And we have so much help available to us. But they cannot intervene directly in our world. Our world is too dense. So we have to create a microcosm, a micro-universe, where they can come and assist us in our healing processes. In fact, they end up doing so much of the work. Shamanism is an ancient spiritual and healing practice found throughout the Americas and throughout all traditional cultures in the world, in India, in Tibet, in Russia, in Central Europe, and practiced most actively today in the Americas. And the shaman is the individual who mediates between heaven and earth, between the visible and the invisible worlds. The shaman is the individual who dances on top of the equal sign in Einstein's famous equation, E equals mc squared. He dances between the world of energy and between the world of matter. The shaman is the one who heals disease, the one who propitiates the forces of nature, the one who is able to steer the village and the individual into a purposeful and healed and meaningful life. The shamans that I had the privilege of working with understood that we have a luminous energy field that surrounds the physical body and that informs the physical body, that organizes the physical body in the same way that the energy fields of a magnet will organize iron filings on a piece of glass. And that you had to intervene to heal the body at the level of the luminous energy field, at the level of the blueprint, that if you only intervened at the body through surgery or medication without clearing the blueprint, that whatever condition you were suffering from would re-express itself. The luminous energy field is shaped like a donut, which in geometry is the shape is known as a torus. And it's a donut with a very narrow hole in it. So if you can imagine a flux of energy coming up through our feet, through our bodies, out the very top of our head, and expanding the width of our outstretched arms, and this energy flowing up through the feet, up to the legs, and down the outside of the body again, and then up again, and you rotate that 360 degrees, you end up with a torus. This is the shape of the luminous energy field when we're in nature. When we're in a city, this donut of energy collapses and becomes very, very tight, like a cocoon, a very tight cocoon around the physical body. But when we're back in nature or in our natural states, it's very expansive. This luminous energy field is what contains the imprints of our early life experiences, of genetically inherited illnesses, even of memories before we were born, when we were still in the uterus and before. When we learn to perceive the luminous energy field, we learn to perceive the luminous nature of life. The visual spectrum, what the eye can see, is a very narrow band of the electromagnetic spectrum. Very, very small. Most of what's happening in the universe is happening outside of the visual spectrum. When we learn to perceive with our inner eyes, with the eyes that can perceive the luminous nature of life, we recognize our interconnectedness with all things, with the stars, with the rivers, with the mountains, with the valleys, with each other. The luminous energy field becomes toxic when we experience toxic emotions that we're not able to process or cleanse ourselves from effectively. They begin to build within our luminous field like sludge, pools of sludge that begin to weaken us, to debilitate us, to slow down the flow of the energy streams in our field, to make us lethargic, to make us unconscious. An imprint is caused by trauma that is unhealed at the moment. So whenever we have trauma that we do not resolve and heal in the moment, it begins to organize energy in the form of a blueprint, if you want, of a fingerprint in the luminous energy field. It becomes encoded into our field. It has a charge that is not released in the moment, and that as this charge is carried within the cocoon of our field, it begins to embed itself to the walls of the field and becomes a permanent fixture. The shaman works with four levels of reality, by engaging four levels of reality. And I like to briefly describe these. The first one is the literal level, the level of matter of the body. The second one is the symbolic, we can call it the mind. The third is the mythic, that we could call the soul. And the fourth is the essential, that we could call the spirit. Each of these are like Russian nesting dolls that sit inside each other and that inform the levels within it, so that we know that the mind informs the body, the soul informs the mind, and the spirit informs the soul. Each of these domains has its own language. The language of the body is physical, chemical, cellular. The language of the mind are words. The language of the soul are images. And the language of spirit is energy. The gift of the healer is to be able to engage each of these levels separately, to not be confined to one. For example, medicine operates strictly at the level of the body, psychology at the level of the mind, spiritual teachings at the level of the soul, and the very deep spiritual teachings at the level of spirit. The healer and the healers that we're training in the West learn how to switch levels of engagement, so that if you're working with a client and they have a pending engagement with a heart condition because they inherited it from their mother and their grandmother, they don't want to have that encounter at the literal level in the emergency room. You preferably want to have it at the psychological, or preferably at the level of the soul, ideally at the energetic, where you're able to clear the imprint in the luminous energy field before it has an opportunity to organize disease. So the shaman healer is able to work at all four levels. The psychologist generally works only at the level of mind, and the tools of the psychologist are language and feelings. The shaman is able to work at the level of the soul. The tools of the level of the soul are images, archetypical images that are laden with power, not just with information, but with power. And the language of spirit, of course, is not even images. The language of spirit is energy, which is the most fundamental language of all. There are dangers associated with energy medicine. And these are dangers that are seldom pointed out by practitioners. I've had many people come to my office after they have seen an energy healer who has applied energy to their cancer, only to have their cancer metastasize throughout their body. Because cancer loves energy. It loves blood flow. It loves energy. So we cannot practice energy healing by treating the symptom only. We have to be very, very careful. These are extraordinarily powerful processes that can disinhibit the immune response or can accelerate the growth of a cancer in the body. So there are cautions that the healers must be aware of, and that during the course of your training, as you experience the power of these practices, you become very sensitive to their appropriate use. There are four modalities of healing that we work with, and four distinct processes. The first one is the illumination process. This is the core healing process, and it has to do with clearing and erasing imprints in the luminous energy field and assisting your client in having an experience of infinity. The second process is working with intrusive energies or entities. In the West, we assume that all of the energies that we experience belong to us. In traditional societies, the healer understands that there are energies that do not belong to you, that these are intrusive energies, and in some cases, intrusive entities that do not belong to your client. There are two kinds of intrusive energies. The first one is thought forms directed at you. Someone that feels that you've hurt them, that you've betrayed them, that when you feel that you've been stabbed in the back by someone. Now, these are generally individuals that we were once close to, that young man or that young woman that feels that you left them and destroyed their lives because you were the love of their life. The resentment and the anger that they feel can penetrate our luminous defenses because we do not recognize them as foreign. These are people that we were once very open to, that we let in very deeply. And these energies can actually embed themselves in the physical body and become crystallized and hardened. And in the jungles, for example, they describe these as spears or arrows, darts, psychic darts that embed themselves in the body and that begin to transmit their poison, which is generally in the form of anger or rage or fear. Anger and fear, the two most deadly poisons in the world. The third process we work with is the soul retrieval process. Now, all of these are founded on the illumination process, on clearing imprints from the luminous energy field. The soul retrieval process, in which the healer journeys on behalf of a client to help them recover a soul part that was lost as a result of trauma or pain. The soul retrieval can accomplish in a couple of sessions what can take years to do in psychotherapy. Where you, in psychotherapy, you're retrieving the understanding of why this happened, how it happened. In soul retrieval, you're actually recovering a quanta of energy, a vital life force, not the information, but the energy, and reinstalling that as essential resources that your clients need in order to heal. You're retrieving the energy and reinstalling it in the client's psyche, transmitting it to the client. The fourth healing process that we work with are the death rites, which we have largely forgotten in the West. Throughout the America, there are groups of indigenous peoples that are keepers of a body of prophecy that talks about the upheavals that are happening in the earth today. The prophecies for the Inca are known as the prophecies of Pachacuti. Pachacuti means the earth being turned over, being turned upside down. And they speak about this time that we're living in until the year 2012 as being a time of mulching and upheaval. So the prophecies speak about a new human being born on the planet today. I believe that we have the opportunity to become that new human in our generation, to become a new species, to become Homo luminous, no longer Homo sapiens. And I believe that today the question is not can we, but dare we take that quantum leap into who we are becoming today.